you're listening to Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. My name is Debbie Quain. Today is Tuesday, May the 1st, 2012. Thank you so much for joining me. If you or someone you love is passionate about planning weddings, then you're in the right place because Confetti is here to bring you information and answers to your questions about what it takes to start and run a successful wedding planning company of your own. This show is broadcast live every other Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. I just got word from someone that the show is showing up at 6 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio's schedule, but it is 7 p.m. Eastern, so I'm going to have to work on that. To get show updates and much more, please visit confettiradio.com. That's a new site there, but the schedule and the archived episodes are on that site. For ideas and inspiration about launching a wedding planning business, then you want to go to weddingsforaliving.com. And I know that's a site that most of you are familiar with. And you'll also be able to, you'll see a link to Confetti Radio, but it's going to take you over to the confettiradio.com site. Okay. For much more information, detailed information about starting up a wedding planning business, then please visit weddingbusinessguide.com. And there you can find tutorials, downloadable forms, and you'll also have access to live teleseminars and webinars just for wedding planners. And we just finished a live call last week, and we're getting ready to tie up some loose ends about the, you know, how to create a wedding planning website. I did that a few weeks ago, and I didn't do a grand job with the ending, so I put myself out there. So Wedding Business Guide members, I'm going to fix that. I really am going to fix that. I just need to get over this week. But let me get back to today's show. The success of today's show depends on you. So if you have a question or you have a comment that you'd like to share with us tonight, please feel free to call in live. The number to call is 626-213-5678. That number never changes. So, you know, you can save that on your phone. You can also use the Skype button, which is at the top of the show page. So if you go to the show page, the link for today's show, you'll see a Skype button, and you can use that to call in. And, of course, you can just listen to the show on the phone without saying a word. But if you have a comment or you have a question, then just press the number 1, and that will let me know that you have something to share with us, and then I'll bring you live on the air. You can also type your questions and comments in the online chat room, and I can see several of you there. Hello. Good to see everyone. If you cannot find the chat room, and it's inevitable, each episode I get feedback that folks cannot find the chat room, so I'll try to remember to say this periodically. You have to scroll all the way down to the bottom of the Blog Talk Radio show page, and that's where the chat room is. I still don't understand why it has to be at the very bottom, but that's where it is. And you can... In order to participate, you actually have to, in the chat, you have to have a Blog Talk Radio listener account or broadcasting account. To register for the listener account, if you don't have one, just click on the sign up button, which is at the top of the Confetti show page. And that also takes you away from the show, I think. And then you've got to come back and sort of join us. Okay. And thank you. I'm getting some good feedback about the new look. Thank you. I realized Confetti Radio needed its own address. So that's what I set up on confettiradio.com, and you can check that out. If you're based in the United States, as many of you are, and you'd like to receive a text message when the show is about to begin, you can be a part of the Confetti Text Club. I am still not sold on that term, but the Confetti Text Club, just simply text the word Confetti, C-O-N like November, F like, what's F like? Frank? E? Right? T-T, I have to make sure, like tango, I like India. What is F on the phonetic alphabet? What is F? I know it's Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, Echo, Foxtrot. F like Foxtrot. Oh, so proud of myself. And so just text the word confetti to 72727, and that will get you on the text messaging list, okay? So standard message and data rates may apply. Got to say that. Okay, if you're in the chat room, as many of you are, please post your Facebook fan page URL so that we can get some exposure for your business. And even if you've done it before, just do it again. There are always new people that are here. And even if folks aren't actively in the chat, they can still see your Facebook URL, and we'll find you that way. Okay. Just wanted to send a shout out to Heather Guthrie of At the Heels Event Wedding and Event Planning. Heather is hosting the first of her very own bridal workshop tonight. So I was just looking at her website at theheels.com, and she's got a series of workshops. And I think this is such a wonderful, wonderful move because she is positioning herself as an expert. So, you know, don't be afraid to do things like that. It's a little, you know, unnerving for some of us, but as wedding planners, we have to go out there. We have to be social butterflies. And this is a great way for people in your neighborhood, in your area, to know more about what it is that you do. And even if they're not ready or actively planning a wedding, this will just get your name out there so that when they are ready or someone that they know is ready to get married, that they'll think of you. So good for you, Heather. I can't wait to hear how that works out. I'm sure it's going to be great. Okay, so let's get back to tonight's show. Our last show was co-hosted by Chazelle Rodriguez. I always botch it. Rodriguez, who is the creator of Chazelle Designs, and that's a full-service design and production company that serves Puerto Rico and other fabulous worldwide destinations. So we talked about, you know, what would you do? And I have to apologize because there was some feedback on that show. I was over-talking Chazelle a little bit. So Chazelle, I apologize. And for those of you listening to the replay and thinking, God, Debbie is awfully rude, I apologize. So I have to wait a little bit before I start speaking. Very difficult for me to do. So Chazelle co-hosted that show with me. And tonight's show, I wanted to do sort of like a follow-up to that. And the title is A Checklist for Your Wedding, for Your Client's Wedding Day. And really what that's about is just to give you some pointers as to things that you should be doing in preparation for your client's wedding day. Now, as wedding planners, that's what we're doing the whole time that we're planning. We're preparing for this big day. But I wanted to come up with a few specific things that you should be doing coming close to D-Day, you know, coming close to, I guess, W-Day, wedding day, okay? So please chime in with your comments, with your questions, and I don't think it's not a very comprehensive list. We can only go through so much in the space of time that we have today, but so, you know, as I'm going through here, if you've got something that you want to contribute or something you'd like to share, or maybe an experience that you've had recently or maybe not so recently with your client's wedding day, this will be a great opportunity to share that with the rest of us, because this is how we learn. This is how we learn. So welcome again to those of you who are just joining in. I see you in the chat. Wonderful that you're here. Please post your Facebook fan page URL so that you can get some exposure for your business. And just put it in the chat there. And also, if you have a question or a comment, post that in the chat. Those of you on the telephone lines, welcome. If you have a question, just press the number 1 and I'll bring you live on the air. If you cannot find the chat room, just scroll all the way down to the bottom of the blogtalkradio.com/confetti, the show page for today's show, May 1. And that's where the chat room is. Okay, so let's get into this. So a checklist for your client's wedding day. Here are some of the things I think are really important for us to do as wedding planners. And I'm positioning myself as the lead wedding planner, because I don't believe you can plan a wedding or be hands-on a wedding day by yourself. You have to have at least one other person. And really, one other person isn't even enough in my book, unless it's a very, very, very small wedding. But you need to have staff on hand. But as the lead planner, you are responsible for making sure all the T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted. So I'm going to, let's get into that. I've got to say hello to Daniel. Daniel, our resident male wedding planner. It's good to see you, sweetie. I hadn't seen you for a while. I'm glad you're here. Kim, too. Let me not miss anyone. Kim Howard, good to see you here. And let me address everyone here. I've got Laura Spice. I hope I'm saying that right. The Bridal Solution, Laura McAdams, Courtney, Kiss Me Court, Kiki Brothers, Mandy Sutton, and Latresa Watton. I hope I'm saying that correctly. It's great to see everybody here. I just wanted to make sure I acknowledge that. Okay. So one of the things that I believe you've got to have for your client's wedding day is a comprehensive production schedule. And what I'm talking about is that schedule that specifies exactly what is happening, when and where on the wedding day. It's almost to the point of being so anal that you know what's happening at 9 a.m., you know what's happening at 9:15, you know what's happening at 9:30. And in some instances, it's even more detailed than that. This production schedule, I believe this, if you have nothing else for your client's wedding day, you need to have a really great production schedule. And the key to coming up with a schedule like this is you've got to start preparing it several weeks before the wedding. You cannot start creating the schedule days before the wedding. You will drive yourself crazy. So the idea is that you have this this form, this chart, this checklist that says what's happening at any given point. The chart that I like to use has a list of times on the left, and it's got three or four columns. The very first column has a list of the times. The very next column is the action, exactly what's happening. You know, bride gets dressed or limo arrives to pick up groomsmen. And then in the very next column, it says where it's happening. So, you know, whether it's happening at the, you know, the bride's home or at the hotel, at the reception site, at the ceremony site. So you've got to list where it's happening so that anyone who's looking at this list, this production schedule, can see at a glance what's happening. And then I have another column for notes. And usually in notes, it's anything to sort of jog my memory. Maybe a telephone number. It may be a special note, like, you know, remind driver that, you know, I-95 has road work going on, things like that. So this is, because it's so detailed, this is why I suggest you want to create this production schedule several weeks before the wedding. In fact, as soon as your client comes on board, I know that you're going to say this is crazy, but to start working on it then. Clearly, you won't have all of the information that needs to go into this production schedule, but you'll know that certain things have to happen. You'll know the start of the start time for the ceremony. You'll know the start time for the reception, so you can start plugging that in. And if you're using a software like Word, Microsoft Word, or Excel, then you can do that because you can just, you can insert things either above or below as you enter the items. So as your clients' contracts start coming in, you know, because your clients should have a contract for each professional wedding vendor that they're doing business with. So they'll have a contract with the florist, they'll have a contract with the limo company, a contract with the cake person. And as you get those contracts, what I would suggest you do is you look at the contract and see if there's anything that you can take from that contract and add to your timeline. So if the cake person says, we are going to deliver the cake by 2 p.m., hop on over to your production schedule and enter 2 p.m. cake delivered by, you know, Sweet Sweet Bakery. Same thing for the other vendors. Everything that's related, anything that has to happen on that wedding day, you add it to your production schedule as you receive the contracts. This is a whole lot easier than waiting until a few days before the wedding or a few hours before the wedding to do something like that. And it's a document that's going to change. So just keep in mind that if you start working on your production schedule earlier, it's better for you. Have I said that enough times? Because this is really, really how you can keep track of what needs to happen when. With the ceremony, it's a little different. I don't list the ceremony specifically, you know, let's say the ceremony start time is 1 p.m. I'll list everything leading up to it. It's like the prelude, which is the time frame before the ceremony begins. And I usually list that a half an hour before. So when it starts at 1, I know to list prelude begins at 12:30. But once the ceremony begins, I list the order of what happens at the ceremony, but I don't specify the time. So I'll say bridal party walks down the aisle, opening prayer or opening hymn, soloist and things like that in the order, but not the time. And then I block out the time for the ceremony. So I'll say, you know, from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. ceremony. And that's as far as I go because the ceremony has a tendency to take on a life of its own. Hopefully not too much of a life of its own, but, you know, I cannot see the advantage of listing, you know, 105, 115, unless you can, you know, if you're doing it that way and that works for you, that's fine. But I prefer just to list the order of the ceremony items. But what I'm listing, remember I said on my production schedule, I have several columns. So 1 p.m., the ceremony is beginning, but 1 p.m., something else is likely to be happening at the reception site. So I'm listing that also. You know, maybe at 1 p.m., ceremony begins, but 1 p.m., the band is arriving and setting up their equipment. So that's going on my production schedule also. If I have an event manager, maybe that's not there from the beginning of the day, he or she's arriving at 1:30, then I'm going to enter that. And usually what I do is I'll be there at the ceremony site. And as soon as that bridal party is down the aisle, I'm out of there. I'm moving on to the reception site. Of course, that's a whole lot easier to do if their ceremony and reception site are happening at the same place. But if they're different locations, then, you know, I'm sort of like off like Speedy Gonzales. And this is why I say it's really important to have staff with you so that I always have someone who's responsible for overseeing what's going on at the reception site. because you cannot be at two places at one time. And if you can, forget wedding planning. Your future and money is someplace else. So you just want to make sure you have enough staff to cover bases, cover all the areas of where the wedding is taking place. So the production schedule is really, really important. Again, if nothing else, if you have nothing else for your wedding planning, for your client's wedding day, make sure you have the production schedule, because it's like your Bible. It's your guideline for what has to happen on that day. I also create an abridged version for bridal party. I love that word, abridged. The first time I saw abridged, I had to look it up. I kept seeing it in these books, abridged. I'm sorry, I consider myself to be a wordsmith, but I only learned what abridged meant like about 3 or 4 years ago. Sorry. I said it. So I create a shortened version of the production day schedule for the bridal party. And it's usually just covers what's happening at the beginning of the day through the time they arrive at the reception site, and nothing more than that. I'll leave out some things that they don't need, like vendor notes and things like that. But I do provide an abridged or shortened version of the wedding day production schedule. And I give this out at the wedding. It brings a lot of laughs, a lot of giggles, and inevitably those are the same people that will come to me during the wedding day or come to one of my staff and say, oh my gosh, what's happening? I don't know what such and such is, and what should we be doing now? So, you create your production schedule and then trim it down and give this to your client's bridal party. So that's everyone in the bridal party, anyone who's an integral part of that, the flower girl's parents, anyone who needs to be, so that everyone knows where everyone needs to be. I don't walk around with a clipboard on the wedding day. I kind of have this production schedule folded up and it stays in my pocket. I just don't like the look of walking around with a clipboard. I don't. So I'll look at that. I'll open it up, unfold it, read it, fold it, put it back in my pocket. And the other thing with the clipboard is I'm likely to put that down someplace. And I believe that the production schedule is what's happening behind the scenes. And your clients don't need to see that. They really don't need to see that. That's between you and your staff and your vendors. So I try not to put it someplace where I will forget it. If it's folded and it can stay in my pocket, even better. I almost always wear a trouser suit, pantsuit on the wedding day that has pockets for that specific reason. Okay. You also want to give a production day schedule to your vendors. Again, this is going to be shortened, but it'll have different information than what you give to the bridal party, because each of the vendors should know where everybody else is and who's doing what. And when you do it, I think it just sets you up as a professional and people see that you're really on your A game. A lot of wedding planners don't create a comprehensive enough production schedule. I think it's good to have more information than less information. So if it comes to mind, stick it on there. So that was my first item, the comprehensive production schedule. So I think, again, or I believe that this is what you have to have with you. Another item that sort of ties in with that is the 411 sheet. For those of you that are not here in the U.S., because I don't want to make that assumption, 411 is the number you dial for information. Although I don't know if anyone still dials 411 for information. So 411 is a list of everyone's number, contact information in one place. Yes, I know you have the contracts. Yes, I know you have that information all in different places, but you should have it in one place. Ideally on one sheet, front and back if you need to, and sort of like an at a glance that you can look and see photographer's name, number, contact person, email, all of that stuff in one spot. Bridal party, maid of honor, matron of honor, groom, mother of the bride, all that information on one. Maybe you don't want to share that with all of your vendors, but I think, I've yet to have a situation where that's an issue. But you definitely want to have all of your bridal party and your vendors' information all in one place, ideally on one sheet of paper, and keep that with you, whether you staple it to the back of this production schedule or you have it as a separate piece of paper. But, you don't want to have too many things going on, but just something that you can locate. Even better, if you want to load up your cell phone with that information, you can do that too. But that's a little cumbersome, and then you've got to delete all the numbers. So if anyone has a better idea of how they are keeping track of their vendor information and bridal party information for the wedding day, it'd be really great if you can share that. But I have found that just old-fashioned paper works for me. Or something that you can look at on your electronic device if you've got your iPad with you. But again, that's something that you're holding in your hand, which I try to avoid, like the plague. So a comprehensive production schedule, number one. The second item is the 411 at a glance, which is your vendors and your bridal party information all in one place. Another item that I believe you need to, another checklist item for your client's wedding day is to check the weather and the traffic reports. We talked about this last week. On the last show with Chazelle. Your bride's doing that anyway. You know they're checking the weather because everybody wants to know if it's going to rain or not on the wedding day. But you want to keep, you want to be on top of that. You want to know what the weather plans are. And as many of us know, that can change overnight. So, you know, today's Tuesday, the forecast outlook for Saturday may be, 80 degrees and it can change by Friday. So you want to stay on that. You also want to check the traffic reports. This is really important for the weekends because a lot of times that's when road work and things are happening, closures because it's not rush hour. It's less busy. This can have a really big effect on the timing of things that need to happen. You would hope that your vendors, especially the transportation company, is on top of that. Don't make that assumption. Don't assume anything like that. You want to make sure that you know what's going on and what information, whatever information you receive that will affect or could potentially affect your client's wedding day, you should share that with everyone. Share that and let everyone know. This is a great example, a great reason to then have your vendor's information that you can text to them. As some of you know that I'm just really caught up in this mobile marketing. I think this is the way to go because everyone's on their cell phone. I mean, I can't have a conversation with my daughter with her face up looking at me. She's usually looking down at her phone. And it's not just her. It's what we do. So it stands to reason that if you can communicate via cell phone, the person that you're sending the message to is likely to receive it. So if you're able to send a text to your vendors on that day, FYI, I-95 closed between exit 12 and exit 14. They're doing road work. Please find an alternative route. Or even if you know what the alternative route is, suggest that. Remember, your wedding planner, your lead wedding planner, your grand poobah, you have got to set the pace for what goes on. Don't let your vendors make that decision. Even if they are competent enough to do that, you take the lead. This will just prove to everyone that you know what it is that you are doing. Many wedding planners do not do a lot of these things. Scary and shocking, I know. So set yourself apart by doing things like that, going the extra mile. If you have an assistant, which you really should have, give him or her that job. That's their responsibility to check the weather and the traffic report and give you an update. If you don't want to be bothered with that, if you're way too busy, and my guess is that you are, give someone that responsibility and they need to send the information to you, then you send that out to your clients and to your wedding vendors. And it doesn't hurt to share that with a bridal party too. Many folks are sort of moving around, trying to get from point A to point B. This is great information to share with wedding guests that are maybe staying, that maybe you've booked hotel accommodations for. This is great information to update on your client's wedding website if they have one. That you can just, put an alert out and let folks know what's going on. So we've got, that was check weather and traffic report. So we've got comprehensive production schedule, 411 at a glance, and check the weather and traffic reports. That was just one pointer there. Usually, Department of Transportation is the place where you can get the transportation information, but it may be different based on where you are. So make sure you know where to look prior to your client's wedding day. Another item that's related to what we just talked about is your community calendar. Community meaning, community specifically, because you need to know what's going on in your area, not just with traffic, not just with the weather. If there is a major sporting event or a major concert or there's a marathon, you need to know that. So you want to check for that. And ideally, you should know this before the wedding day gets here, because a lot of these events are planned ahead of time, we hope, right? And are listed someplace. So figure out what the two or three resources are in your area that are always on top of what's happening and keep track of that. Again, this is another piece of information that I think is very helpful to share with vendors and potentially some of your bridal party members. You want to know what's going on. If, there's the marathon will throw things off. I'll never forget when I was in New York one weekend for the New York Marathon. And I blanked out because I used to work at Tavern on the Green, which is where the ending, the party, the after event happens. But I completely forgot that it was the New York Marathon. And I heard on the radio that they were closing the Verrazano Bridge at a certain time. I hightailed it out of New York trying to beat the road closures. Otherwise, it would have just been crazy trying to get out of there. So the same thing stands for your client's wedding. You again assign that role to an assistant, a child, someone in, someone else to do that. But you make sure and follow up that it's actually done. All right. For those of you just joining, welcome. You're listening to Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. Hi, Martha. Good to see you here. Tonight we're talking about items that a checklist for your client's wedding day, things that you should be doing as a professional wedding planner to prepare for that wedding day. Some of these things you do on the day, some things are happening right before the wedding day, but specifically to avoid headaches and potential disasters. Well, that's a little bit, dramatic, but headaches on the wedding day. If you are on the show page, just scroll all the way down and you'll find the chat room at the bottom there. You just need to log in and register to participate. And if you're on the phone lines, just hit the number 1 if you have a question. And for those of you that don't know the phone number to call in, it's 626-213-5678. And of course, if you're in the chat room, please post your Facebook fan page URL so you can get some exposure for your wedding business. Okay, next item that I believe you want to have on hand is a charged telephone, mobile device. And I mean, we're all on our phones, but, depending on how fancy and how active your smartphone is, there's a good chance that phone will die halfway through the day. I have a Sprint Evo. It's time for me to upgrade. And I have this big bulky battery on the back, which always gets a few laughs from people that have never seen it. But it's the only way I can guarantee to get about 10 hours of life on my Android without it dying. So that's, it makes the phone so darn heavy, but that's what I have to do. Maybe you can charge another battery and have that ready to insert when your battery dies. So if you're using it a lot, it's going to happen. Not if, but when. So you want to be ready for that. You cannot use the excuse, well, my phone went dead. Not going to work. So you walk with a charger, an extra battery, a backup phone. You've got to think about that and explain to your staff that they need to do the same, because the phone, not having the phone charged is just not an excuse. You've got to figure out a way to make that work. Okay, so the charged cell phone, the charged mobile device, extra batteries, charger, all of those things. You cannot be without a phone. I mean, I don't know what we used to do before the cell phone, but I mean, when you leave the house, right, don't you turn back if you've forgotten the phone, or if you leave the office? You're not leaving home without it. So, it is what it is. Either we accept, we embrace it, or we fight it, and I think fighting it's a waste of time. So embrace it and let it work to your advantage. Another important item for you to check is the medical know-how. Meaning where the local hospitals are, urgent care facilities. And if you're planning weddings over and over again in your area, I know you already know where those places are. But you need to make sure that it's documented somewhere so that your staff members know and that they can provide that information to out-of-town guests. A lot of people are not familiar with your area. So people need to know that without scaring them. If you're doing welcome baskets for your clients, out-of-town guests, which is a really great source of income, you can create an information sheet and include that on there. But also, as wedding planners, you want to know where to go in the event that there is an emergency. I mean, an emergency, you're going to call 911. You're going to call 911, but you still want to know where the urgent care center is. Maybe someone needs to get there and it's not a situation where they need to go with the ambulance or something like that. You also need to know if there are any guests that have a chronic condition that could potentially require attention. So I'm talking about anyone who may be diabetic, anyone who is epileptic. And I know we're not here in a medical capacity, but knowing these things can help, because if something doesn't seem quite right or something goes awry, then you can maybe speculate and say, oh, okay, that's what's going on. Also, if there are any medical professionals that are part of your client's immediate family or important to them, or someone that they're familiar enough with, that's helpful too. During the last show, we talked about, Chazelle mentioned, that what would happen, what you're allowed to do if there is a medical emergency. Now, me, helpful soul that I am, my instinct is just to rush and help. But Shazelle brought up a really great point, saying that unless the person gives you the okay, or someone who can speak on their behalf gives you the okay, you really shouldn't be performing any sort of medical, medical assistance, for fear of what could happen. Because this person, I mean, we are in a litigious area here in the United States that somebody could backfire. And I was a little concerned about that. And I know the Good Samaritan law is in place and so forth, but, you know, she was absolutely right that someone needs to give you the A-OK to do that. So I'm thinking, you know, if someone looks like they need my help, if I need to give the Heimlich, what I'm really not sure I could probably do accurately, don't I just jump in and do that? But that person has to give you the green light. And it's something that bears some research and maybe a little bit of legal advice. But as wedding planners, we kind of taken that lead role. So be careful with how you respond to a medical emergency, which is why I suggest knowing if there is anyone in the immediate area that is qualified to help in a situation like that. So, you know, proceed with caution. We don't want to be heartless, but we do have to keep it real and to be very, very careful with how you proceed. But preparation is key. So you want to know if someone in the bridal party or someone, if the couple knows, and you can ask them, is there anyone, any of your guests that you are aware of that has a chronic condition, a chronic medical condition that we should be aware of? And it's just helpful to know. And the information that you get, don't forget to share this with your staff, because you having it and knowing it doesn't help. This may happen when you are not present at that moment, which is why it's important to document. And one of the other steps I'm about to go over in talking to your staff, but the information that you get, you've got to share this with your staff, because it's almost like, you know, like when you call a company and they say, well, that's not our fault. You know, you call with a problem, they say, oh, that's accounting, or that's, you know, receiving. As far as you and I are concerned, this company, you know, they're one and the same. You don't care which individual department messed up. Same thing with you as a wedding planner. You may be the wedding planning company, but when your staff is there, or when you have event assistants there that are present, you're all part of the same gang. So don't think that you can just leave things out like that and not share. Don't think you can get that information and not share it with your staff. You have an obligation to do that. Okay? So don't forget all these pointers and all these things that you learn, you've got to share. And then the other item is to another item on the list is a meeting with your staff. This is so, so important. You have to have that group huddle and share with your staff what you have learned, what you have discovered, and what you expect. And I'm talking about everything. How you want them to dress, how you want them to speak to your guests, if you want them to speak to your vendors, because maybe you don't want certain event managers communicating with your vendors. Maybe you want them to go through you. Maybe if there's an issue, maybe the rule is, I want to know about it before you speak to anyone. Unless you have given someone the authority to speak on your behalf, have your staff report that information to you. You can then decide, well, you know what, Kim, go ahead and tell them X, Y, Z. But train them to come to you first. You don't want to be the last one to find out when something has gone pear-shaped or something isn't happening the way it's scheduled to happen or as planned. It's really, really important to talk to your staff and explain to them how you want things dealt with, especially things that don't go as planned. Have I said that enough times? Because it speaks volumes about how you handle yourself. You know, you may be so ticked off with this photographer and you want to tell him about himself, but you've got to learn how to address that on the day of the wedding. Same thing goes for your staff. It doesn't make sense for you to keep your emotions in check and nobody else knows how to handle that. You should be having regular meetings with your staff. I try to bring everybody that's going to be there on the wedding day to the wedding rehearsal. Because then the bridal party members become familiar with faces, and it's important for the staff to know who the key players are on the wedding. And if you have a right-hand person, right-hand man, right-hand woman, you want to say, this is, you know, this is Laura. And she is the event manager. She's going to be overseeing everything at the reception site when I am not there. So any concerns you have, please address them with her and she'll be sure to share them with me. And maybe Laura, your right-hand person, is the person that you share all the details with, but you limit what you share with the rest of the staff. You know what I mean? So everyone doesn't have to know the same information, but everyone needs to know who Laura is. Your vendors need to know who Laura is. The rest of your staff needs to understand her role, and the bridal party, your clients, need to understand who she is. So it's really important. Try not to spring new faces on your clients on the wedding day. If you can, get them to meet these folks beforehand. Even if it's something as simple as a who we are sheet, where there's a, you know, there's a photo beside everyone's name and a little bio. And you've seen those on some of the websites where you kind of meet the staff and you kind of get to know who everyone is, even if it's a group photo. But, you know, the individual photos is a really nice idea. If you don't want to put it on the website, then put it on something that's personal that you send to your client so that they know who everyone is and their role. But and also, you want to get into the habit of assigning your event managers to certain areas. Everybody can't be clumped in the same place. You know, having one person with the groomsmen, having another person be with the female attendants, having another person be at the reception site, those are all good habits to set up for your business. You cannot be everywhere, but you want to make sure your staff is spread out and not all clustered together and talking and discussing. They're there to work. It's a wedding. It's a fun event, but they're there to work. You have to set the trend. You've got to tell them what it is you want them to do. Document it so you don't have to keep repeating yourself each time for each event. And even if the same event managers are working the last four events that you've done, have that same meeting anyway so that it becomes second knowledge. What's the term? Not second knowledge. It's just commonplace. It's just they don't think about it. They understand what needs to be done. You know, I ask that folks wear black. I ask that my staff wear comfortable shoes for obvious reasons. They can wear something nice at the church and then change out. I ask them to have mints. Absolutely no gum. No gum whatsoever. Absolutely not. And I make that clear. Personal hygiene is very important. You want to make sure you share these things with your staff so there are no surprises. No surprises. I like the use of name tags, but you know, that may not fit with your style, but there needs to be a way for people to identify who it is that they're talking, who the staff is. I like the idea of using the same flower on the lapel of everyone that's working the event, whether, you know, something that's a little different. So they're not mistaken, you know, as part of the bridal party, but just something that lets them know that, you know, if they see everybody with the white rose, then that's clearly part of the wedding planning company. So come up with something that sort of is a signature look and that folks can identify who your staff is. But, you know, you want to make sure that everybody is on the same page. And you also want to share any red flags. So if I always ask, and this will come under security, we're going to talk about that in a moment, but, you know, anything that comes up that could potentially, again, ruin the day, you want to make sure you share with your staff. Okay. Second nature. Thank you, Latresa. That's what it was. I couldn't think. Second nature is the term. Thank you so much. Let's see. Any questions? And please post your Facebook fan page if you haven't done that already. And if you have and it scrolled off the screen, post it again. Martha asks, what do you do when people, helpers, don't show to your event? Do you ask the caterer and explain the situation? Meaning your staff, Martha? Is that what you mean? What do you mean when your staff doesn't show up to the event? Or are you talking about vendors out, you know, vendors like, am I reading it? Let me read it again. What do you do when people, helpers, don't show to your event? Do you ask the caterer and explain the situation? If you can clarify that for me, please, Martha. And if I'm missing something obvious, folks, tell me. You said yes. Yes to what? Meaning your staff or the other vendors? Your staff. Okay. Wow, they don't show. Well, that's the last event they'll work. You want to make sure you always have enough staff that it's not going to affect you, Martha. I have, my head count of staff is based on the number of guests attending. And that affects the price of our staff being there on the wedding day. So for every 50 guests, you should have someone there to help you, to help manage that staff. That's my calculation. So if there's going to be 150 guests, I will have three event managers. Now, if one doesn't show up, it's going to be a little tight, but we'll be okay. The folks that you assign, Martha, to different areas, they've got to be people that you trust. And I've yet to have that happen, knock on wood, but you want to make sure you have enough staff that if one person drops out, it's going to be okay. And I know that doesn't help a whole lot, but you also want to have a backup plan, as with any vendors. I mean, if the DJ doesn't show up or the cake is destroyed before it gets there, you want to have a plan B. And it may be a good friend, it may be a family member, it may be another vendor. Someone, you should have a couple of people that you can call on to show up. And when you do a wedding, you should have a report time. So, everyone needs to be here at 9 a.m. or everyone needs to be here at 10 a.m. And when you see, it's getting close to that time and no one has shown, someone hasn't shown up, you place a few calls. And if that person hasn't shown up, then you go into plan B mode. But you always want to have a backup plan for whatever vendor or staff member you're talking about, whether it's someone internal, meaning your staff, or external. So have a good friend or good family member, and I know you have one that can sort of jump in at the last moment to help you. Okay? And that's why it's important also to document all of the requirements and all the things that you want so that you can just sort of give them a briefing, say, read through this real quick to get an idea of what's going on. Okay, and Martha, I hope that helps. Let's see, another question. Is it necessary to meet the groom so it's not awkward on the day of the wedding? Meet the groom, meaning on the wedding day, Martha, or before? If you could clarify that for me. Martha says, "Thank you. I learned the hard way." Oh, with the staff not showing up? Yeah. See, you know what though? You have to remember that you're running a business and you have to treat it as such. And a lot of times we employ friends and family members to help us, but that's not always a good idea. And it's one of the fastest ways to ruin a good friendship, good relationship. You want to make sure that the person that you have asked to help you is someone you would be proud to represent you. And if you have doubts, move on. Move on. Don't second guess it. If you know this person has a tendency to sound really abrupt when they speak to people, or has a way of just, the Jekyll and Hyde temperament when things go wrong, that's not somebody you want helping you on your wedding day. I know as a wedding planner, you're getting requests and information from people all the time asking, "I need your help. Can I mentor you? Can you mentor me? Can you shadow me?" Those are the people you want helping you on your wedding day. Don't look at everything as competition. Because this person wants to learn. That's the person you want on board. Have them sign a non-compete, give them a list of instructions and things like that. But you want to make sure the people that you have with you on your wedding day are people that you would be proud to represent your business. Okay? Martha goes on to ask, "What do you do when vendors and bridal party are not friendly? For months, I met with the bride and mom and everyone else I met on the rehearsal day, but was not pleasant." Oh, that happens a lot. If it's a vendor, that should be the last time you work with them. Unfortunately, sometimes you're landed, you have a vendor that you didn't pick, that it's a client, it's someone that your client picked out, and you've got to figure out a way to make it work. It's part of what we do. And just know that when people aren't pleasant, it's not usually a personal thing. They're just not pleasant in general. A lot of people are very talented with their craft, but they are not very good business people, and it becomes very evident very quickly. So you have to be the gracious person and tiptoe around them. But bridal party, I've worked with many bridal people in the bridal party that just wanted me that made me want to just run in the opposite direction and second guess this thing. Just real nasty and real mean, and I don't quite understand it, or that want to tell you how to do your job. And the only thing that I have found that works for me is just experience. I just have to figure out a way to bite my tongue, and usually the thing that I want to say is not the thing that I should that I do say, because if I do, we're going to have a really, really bad situation. It takes time. It takes time and some trial and error. And a lot of things you just have to ignore. You have to ignore. You have to hear it and learn not to react to it. And I know that sounds very basic, but it's as simple as that. You're going to come across people that are just real mean. And a lot of times, you want to talk to people, but don't address, try not to address a volatile situation where everyone can hear it. I try to pull someone to the side, because if you respond to them, if they try to call you out and are mean to you in public, you shouldn't reply in kind. You want to try to get this person off site or away from that and say, hey, I'm sensing that something's going on here. Is there something that I'm doing that's affecting you? What's happening? And you sort of have to respond that way. You never want to respond when someone jumps at you and says something and snap right back. That's what our instinct is a lot of times. You can't do that because you have now, we all know, we've heard this. You don't want to go down to that level. You've got to set yourself apart. You're a business. You're running a business and you have to respond that way. It's very different when you're out and about. And my daughter will tell you, I'm famous for calling out employees when they're not dealing with me the right way or they're talking to me in a certain way. I'll call them out and say, hey, why are you speaking to me like that? And if this isn't what, if this is how you're handling your job, maybe this isn't the job for you. Famous for doing it. And you may have heard me say it if you've been in the Washington, D.C. area. But this is not the time. The time to do that is not with your client's wedding. Not the time. So Kiki Brothers says, absolutely, don't take it personal. And it's very hard because you could feel it. The hairs on the back of my neck stand up and I'm kind of going, ugh. So be careful. Vent to your staff, but make sure you don't vent within earshot. You don't want anyone to hear you, saying all kinds of crazy things. But you kind of have to take a deep breath, walk away. And if you can, pull that person to the side and deal with them, But just think about it. It's just a one-day thing. They'll come, they'll go, and it'll be fine. They're just passing through. So if that helps, and I'm guessing it doesn't always help, but you have to think that way. Okay, Bridal Solution says, also make sure you know where all the exits in the building are and the emergency plans. Excellent, excellent point. This past weekend, we had a tornado warning during the reception, and we had to use our plan of action. Wonderful, wonderful. So you were ready. And if you are in an area where certain natural disasters are prone to happen, then you want to be ready. I mean, I'm not going to probably have a plan of action that I'm going to go into too much detail for hurricane. They don't happen too much in this area. Although we did have an earthquake a few months ago that sort of freaked the heck out of me. So maybe, you want to be ready. But of course, Bridal Solution says being prepared and that you hope, you prepare. Was it hope for the best and prepare for the worst? That's so true with what we do in, as we plan weddings. So you want to be ready with your course of action. And that sort of ties in perfectly with security, is another item on that checklist. Security covers a lot of different areas. Security is making sure that your the reception site is safe, and more times than not, the reception site will provide security, but not always. Guest cars in the parking lot, wedding gifts. A lot of people bring wedding gifts to the wedding, and Emily Post says you're supposed to deliver the wedding guests the gifts before the wedding, but a lot of gifts will be delivered on the wedding day. You've got to come up with a course of action as to how to handle that. Is it going to be the bridal part? Is it going to be the client's responsibility to move the gifts from the reception site to wherever? Are you going to be responsible for that? And if your client is saying that they're responsible, you have to go a step further and get it out of them. Well, who's going to take the gifts from here to wherever? Who is that person so that I can find him or her, or maybe several people, so that we can start loading the gifts? Because your staff will probably have to help with that. You've got to think about that before the wedding day. Your client probably isn't thinking about it, so you want to be ready to help them come up with that plan. If there is an ex that is threatening to show up, you need to know about that. And your clients may not share that with you. You've got to pull that information out of them. Is there anyone that could potentially disrupt the wedding day? And ask. Very simple. And they'll tell you. Again, you're not responsible for implementing security per se. I mean, unless you have a resident security guard on staff, but you want to bring those ideas to the forefront. You bring the what's the word I'm looking for? Come on, guys. Lost for words. You want to bring the idea up so that they start thinking about it. A lot of what we do as wedding planners is not just about, the logistics. You have to be the memory jogger for your clients to ask them about things that they haven't even thought about. Because we do this all the time, right? So we need to be ready to share with our clients. Have you thought about this? Security, what are we going to do with the wedding gifts that arrive on the wedding day? Do you have someone that can transport the wedding gifts? Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. Well, I guess Cousin Mark can do that. And okay, great. So Cousin Mark, let's see where he's sitting, which table, and what kind of vehicle does he have? Is it going to be large enough to take all the gifts? Probably not. Well, we need to get someone else. Okay, so who else can we employ to help get the gifts from the reception site? And by the way, where are we taking those gifts? Because if they're leaving for a honeymoon, are they going to the, you know, where should we take them? Are they going to the parents' house? Are they going to a friend's house? Those are the things that you need to make sure that you think about. A lot of guests will bring gifts in a card that have money or a check or something in them. You need to have a way to secure those items, especially with money. You got to be very careful about that. In a lot of cultures, it's expected that guests will bring money. So you want to be prepared to deal with those situations. Okay? It's a wedding. It's a fun day. It's all fluffy and nice, but you've got to keep it real and think about that a security, a contingency plan. So reception site, ceremony site, and gifts and things like that. You've got to start thinking about these things and sharing that with your client. Okay, well, we're getting close to the top of the hour. The other item I have on here, I think it's the last one, is your emergency kit, a well-stocked emergency kit. You want to make sure that your emergency kit is good to go at least a good week before the wedding. Don't wait 2 or 3 days before the wedding and try to scramble and get everything in that emergency kit. In fact, a good time to replenish your emergency kit is right after the wedding that you've just finished, so it's ready to go the next time. But still do a check. Keep a list, an inventory list of what should be in there. You know, if you need 10 safety pins and, 5 pieces of chalk or whatever, keep a list with quantities so that anyone can go through that inventory, your emergency kit, and replenish it the way that you want. Not just, you don't just want to say, you know, stockings. You want to be specific as to how many, or, you know, black dress socks for men. How many pairs do you normally keep in there? So that someone, and again, I think that's a role for someone else other than you. So get an assistant, get an intern, a child in the family to do that, to be responsible for that. And you can have more than one emergency kit. We talked about this on the last show. I'm a fan of using the jewelry bags, the clear jewelry bags with the individual pockets, and hanging those up in the dressing area for the bride, for the female bridal attendants and for the male bridal attendants, so they can see at a glance what they need. Because if there's only one emergency kit and you have it, and someone needs an item from that emergency kit and you're not where they are, then that's a problem. So you can have several mini kits for where your clients are getting ready, and then maybe one big, you know, big enchilada, one big grand emergency kit that you use that has, you know, the main items in. But I think it's really important that it's a kit that's accessible by your clients, because that's what it's there for. Martha says, I prepared the ER kit and bridesmaids and brides love it. Wonderful. Bride's grandmother was very happy I had the ER kit. It's a great thing to have for the bridal party. Yeah, it's a really, really neat thing. I call mine the toolkit. T-U-L-L-E. Ha ha ha. Isn't that clever? I don't know where I saw that, but I ripped it off someplace. So I call it the emergency toolkit. T-U-L-L-E. That's what I call mine. And I mention it when I list my packages and the pricing. And, you know, you can... the idea is that you keep replenishing. Just, you know, add an overall cost in your pack when you're pricing that covers the emergency kit. That if, you know, certain items go MIA, that, you know, you've covered the cost to replace them. So these are the things you got to think about when you're updating, when you're pricing your services, which is a whole, you know, another issue. But so that's it. Let's see. So I talked about a comprehensive production schedule. I don't think I'm saying these in the right order. Check the weather and the traffic report. Check the community calendar. You want to have the 411 at a glance. You want to have a charged telephone. You want to have a meeting with your staff, a really in-depth meeting with your staff with regard to the wedding day. You want to have the medical hospital awareness. You want to know what's going on there. You want to have a security plan, for, you know, wedding gifts and, you know, any red flags or any unwanted guests. And I'm missing something. I just skipped over to stay in order. What did I miss, guys? Oh, and the well-stocked emergency kit. Did I say that already? So those are the items that I think are really key and should be part of a checklist. I was going to say mental checklist, but you don't want to leave it as a mental checklist. It's actually something you have written down because you're going to forget something. You inevitably, you are going to forget something. And the wedding day really is a culmination of weeks, months, maybe a year of your hard work. So you don't want it all to just fall by the wayside because you forgot what seems to be a minor detail but can have a really major effect on your client's wedding. Okay? So those are my suggestions. Does anyone else have any input? Anything else that they use that would be helpful? Martha says, can I send a copy of those items? Martha, if you go on confettiradio.com, it'll be in the show notes for this show, which would be confettiradio.com/308. This is episode 308. Okay. All right. So that's all I've got. Any questions? Any, you know, last call? I wish I had a bell to ring. Maybe I'll get a bell. So like when you're at the bar and it's last call. That was just, sorry. Maybe that's what I should do. Our next show will be next week. Now, listen, I sort of glossed over it. The plan was to have a show last week, and what's going on? I'm in the middle of planning an event, which I haven't done for a while, so I'm sort of in a bit of a tiz. And once I get past that this week, then things will be calm again, but I have another event coming up towards the end of the month. So I just need to get past that, but I think I'm clear for next week, Tuesday, which is Tuesday, May 8th at 7 p.m., and that's going to be Grab Bag Tuesday. So what that means is if you have a question related to wedding planning, your wedding planning business, anything you like, please send that in. You can go to confettiradio.com. There's a page that says Ask. You can just check on that and submit your question. And we'll read it out loud on the air and try to get a response for you. There's also a voicemail number where you can call and leave a recording. And once again, I don't have it with me. Darn. But it's on the Confetti Radio website, and you can check that out there. Okay? So I want to thank you for listening. Please remember to follow the show on blogtalkradio.com/confetti. Take a look at weddingsforaliving.com and the weddingbusinessguide.com and the new site confettiradio.com. And all of those resources will help you in some way with starting and growing a wedding planning business of your own. Okay? Please feel free to post your comments. I'd really love to hear your feedback on the Confetti Radio Show. It's real helpful for me to understand what's working, what isn't, and then I know I'm not just speaking to myself. But thank you so much for being here. Our next live show again airs on Tuesday, May 8th at 7 p.m. Eastern, and that will be Grab Bag Tuesday. So ask any questions you want as it relates to running a wedding planning business, okay? Thank you so much for taking the time to be a part of Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. If you'd like to get a text when the show's about to go live next time so that you remember, just text the word CONFETTI to 72727. And that will only work if you're here in the United States. Again, text the word CONFETTI to 72727. And I look forward to seeing you next week. Go out there, make lots of money, and as always, love and success. Take care.